Where's that officer who beat my brother? Is he here? Is he here?
At the foot of the bridge to the Rikers Island Jail in Queens, New York this past Saturday, Akeem Browder, the brother of Khalif Browder, turned his back on the crowd he was speaking to and addressed the many police officers that were standing guard.
This is the Department of Corrections. It's corrupt. They dehumanize our brothers at a pay rate of 38 an hour.
Khalif Browder was wrongfully arrested at the age of 16, spent 3 years awaiting trial at Rikers Island Jail, two of those in solitary confinement, and ended up committing suicide after his release in June 2015. A child, damaged beyond reach by a criminal justice system that processes the mistakes and overreaches of prosecutors, warehouses the delays of lawyers and judges, and in the Browder case, left a teenager to grow up in New York City's largest and most controversial jail. A rally of people who want prison reform and who especially want Rikers to close held a march and shared their stories.
The first time I was on Rikers Island, I was almost raped.
Lavelle Pointer is 48. He's been on Rikers twice, most recently for an accused drug sale.
I had the tendons in my hand cut. I have had ribs broken.
U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara calls stories like that Rikers culture of violence. Enduring it is not what the criminal justice system had in mind when it created jails like Rikers. And while a judicial sentence eventually comes to an end, the impact of the violence at Rikers Island often does not.
You're working on instincts of survival now. This is the only way to survive. This is the only way I'm going to get to talk to my children is if I bust somebody in the head. And so by the time you go through a year, 2 years of that, it's like an indoctrination period that changes you from a normal person to this, I hate to say it, but like this real animal. It's like going to war, like coming back home from Vietnam. You're totally screwed. When I came home, I didn't know. I didn't know that, you know, I had post-traumatic stress disorder. I didn't know that for years. Finally, I get diagnosed, and it makes sense to me. And I didn't even realize how much my mentality had changed. Like, Rikers Island is a place that manufactures criminal mentality. And when we're going into these places, it's just killing us.
New York City and state have enacted a series of reforms. There are new surveillance cameras, reducing the use of solitary confinement, adding hundreds of new officers with body cameras. The federal government is now a Rikers watchdog. And monitors issued a report in May saying there do seem to be some improvements, noting a drop of 17%. Of assaults on staff.
I mean, the changes have been made. There have been changes made, but I don't know how much better it is. We're still hearing those stories. We're still hearing those abuses, still hearing about the sexual assaults on sexual violence against women. And if it is, in fact, not improving after all the quote-unquote change that's taken place, then maybe the best thing to do is just close it down. It's too broken. It's too sick.
Paul Prestia is a lawyer for Khalif Browder's family in their case against the city of New York. He also represents Candy Haley. Like Browder, Haley spent 3 years at Rikers in pretrial detention, only to be found not guilty. Most of her time was spent in solitary confinement, where she attempted to commit suicide 8 times. Prestia says that the confinement, delays, and permanent wounds experienced by his clients go well beyond denial of due process and a speedy trial as guaranteed by the Constitution.
37 months in solitary confinement, 80 suicide attempts. She's still alive, and I'm making sure that she stays alive. And you will hear her story soon enough.
Oh, my name is Candy, and I came out today because I'm a solitary survivor. It's amazing I'm still here. Sometimes I don't believe I'm still here.
Haley is in her early 30s now. In a suicide note in 2014, she noted, "I can't endure this abuse evermore. The truth will come to light while death shall set me free." She's currently facing a felony charge for criminal mischief for breaking a chair in jail. But she's now been diagnosed with a number of mental illnesses, all made worse by Rikers.
I had memories every day. I can't just using the lavatory is a problem because I had to hold my urine for so many hours being in solitary confinement that I damaged my uterus. And not only that, even a bottle of water brings back memories because I was denied water for so long. Even taking a shower brings back memories because I was denied a shower so long. I would be in there for days without a shower, days without recreation, days without, months without contact with the outside world. So sometimes I feel nervous being around crowds. I feel nervous being around officers. And I was very nervous about coming here today because it's so close to Rikers. I was just afraid I was going to get arrested again or beat in front of everybody.
Candy Haley is not alone to have as her treatment for severe mental illness being warehoused at Rikers Island. Today, there doesn't appear to be much of a way back to normal for Rikers inmates like her, or who are like Khalif Browder, who's dead. Candy says she can still see her former self off in the distance.
The Candy before was outgoing, outspoken, fun, loving. Now the Candy now is, I like to be inside. I don't like coming outdoors. I don't like speaking. I don't like crowds. But I know that Khalif Browder lives inside of me, and I'm fighting to tell his testimony as well. So I can't be selfish. I have to tell his story, and I have to tell my story.
Aggressive reform is now the policy for corrections authorities in New York, but the consensus among these former inmates at this rally and demonstration in Queens, witnessed by our takeaway producer, Oliver Lazarus, is that Rikers Island should be closed down. Governor Andrew Cuomo actually supports that, although New York's mayor and other skeptics say closing Rikers is a political pipe dream that would take decades and cost billions.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.